If you would turn your Bible in your Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 17. I'm just going to read one verse here in the beginning. And that is the first one. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. As we've been seeing, as we have been looking on these Wednesday evenings at these elementary and essential things about God, the names of God Himself reveal a great deal about Him. He calls Himself here in this first verse, the Almighty God. I'll read you another reference of the same thing in Exodus 6 and verse 3 of this same occasion. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. I've heard that name for God used about as far back as I can remember. And it would seem that the name by which God identifies Himself in these two verses, it would seem like that name would have gone concerning what we looked at about Him last week, and that is His omnipotence. I always thought of God Almighty in terms of God all-powerful, which He is. As a matter of fact, the prefix for this name for God here is El, which means the Mighty One. But not only does it mean that, but He identifies Himself here as the Almighty God. And this name is translated into Hebrew by most of the Hebrew scholars as all-sufficient. He says to this 99-year-old man that he has been telling that he would, after all this time, have a son born to his same elderly wife. But as he does, he identifies himself as Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. I suppose in one sense to say to this old man, what I'm saying to you and what I'm promising to you and what I'm requiring of you will never come about through your sufficiency. But have no fear, because I am the Almighty God. I am God All sufficient. As a matter of fact, the name here is El Shaddai. And what that actually means, or what is associated with that second word there, is something literally like this, many-breasted. It's connected to the thought that we read in Isaiah 66:10. I'll read this to you. The thought is much alike. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Her sufficiency, her milk of consolation, which comes from El Shaddai, or the Almighty God, all sufficient. It means something like this, that God is self-sufficient. In other words, by this very name of God that He gives us, identifying Himself, we know that any notion of Him having a need is foolish. He is God all-sufficient. He is God self-sufficient. And as a matter of fact, without a doubt, these things can only apply to Him. You're not self-sufficient. I'm not self-sufficient. None of us are all sufficient. Every one of us, as well as all who have ever lived, have always depended on Him. He's the all-sufficient one. Somebody said, Jehovah is sufficient in and of Himself and for Himself and stands in no need of any or of anything from another. And not only that, but has a sufficiency for others, both in providence and in grace. I've always thought, not always, but since the Lord opened my understanding, I have thought what a foolish thing it is, on the one hand, to hear men tell people how great God is and how much God has, on the one hand, only to turn around in a few minutes later and tell them how much God needs. He needs their time. He needs their money. He needs their talents. He needs all these things. Not the all-sufficient God. He's the Almighty God, and He has need of nothing. And the glory of this is, if we don't see anything else out of this tonight but this, I hope we can see this. The glory of God as this God, all sufficient, is that He can be trusted. He can be relied upon. And if there's one thing that I don't want, I hate to rely on somebody who needs as much or more than I do. But this God can be trusted. He can be depended on for everything that we need whether it's for soul or body, whether it is in time or in eternity, everything about Him is sufficient and in such a contradictory way to what man is. Man's insufficient. And therefore, he cannot be depended on. Cease ye, he says, from the arm of flesh. He cannot be depended on. And friends, although oftentimes they would help, and they would assist, and they would supply, they cannot. There is not one person, even the one that loves you the most, the one that has your welfare at heart the most, there is not one person that in every situation, in all times, and especially in matters of our soul, has what we need. We don't have it, they don't have it. And here's this God, the only one who is God. And He says, I am El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God. God all sufficient. Turn over to Psalm 50 just a minute. I wasn't even going to read this, but it just came to my mind. If you'll turn over to Psalm 50, I want you to listen to this God. Psalm 50, and look down in... I won't read too much. Just look down at verse 12 at what he says. If I were hungry now, I wouldn't tell you. All these preachers running around telling people how much God needs them and how much He needs them. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. As a matter of fact, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He said, everything's mine. I'm the all-sufficient God. I wouldn't ask you. I wouldn't even tell you if I did need something. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and that'll glorify me. You see that? But you never call upon God. You never seek after what He has and what you need until you know that He's this. All sufficient. That is, He is our help in every time of need and possesses a never failing supply and is in Himself an inexhaustible fountain of goodness and grace. You can't ever use up His grace. The Bible says that He giveth more grace. Everything that we need, this great sufficiency that He has in Himself and has for Himself, He has for His people. He never diminishes. And this sufficiency is put to the test and enjoyed, and they are blessed, these people who trust Him. Trust Him. He said, I'm God Almighty. We're not talking about somebody unable. We're not talking about somebody in want. Whether it be strength, whether it be spiritual blessing, whatever it is. He said, I am Almighty God. And He provides and satisfies all His people with all of His good things and His grace at all times and all places in every age. He's the same. And out of this sufficiency, now think about this, out of this sufficiency, He has, from before the world began, He has been pouring out and blessing and giving and working and helping right down to this very moment. And if He was a barrel of water, you could go look in that barrel of water and it'd be right brimming full. Because He's all sufficient. And this truth is always, as I said, an encouragement and a reason to trust Him. And I want us to quickly point out tonight three areas in which we can rejoice because of who He is. All right, here's the first one. This is true of all believers. This is true of God's people. And that is, first of all, He is all we need in the salvation of our souls. He's it. All the sufficiency, all the necessity in what it takes to put us in standing, in a favorable standing, as those who are accepted before Him, is in Him. In Him. He's God Almighty. And what God says of Himself to this man Abraham is what He says to all His people, and especially of how His sufficiency is explained or confirmed or secured to them in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was looking at this morning early, something came to my mind that happened years ago. And that's a lady. I don't know where it was. But she came up to Brother Scott Richardson somewhere after he'd preached, and she asked him this question. She said, is Christ really, truly, all we need? Is He? Everywhere around us, they say no. Or they say, we need Him plus. We need who He is plus this. We've got to be this. Or we need what He did and we've got to do this. She said, is Christ really all we need? He gave her a wise answer. He said, if He's all we've got, He is. If He's all we've got, He is. If we've got Him plus anything, if we've got Him plus an old experience or Him plus our imagined good doings, if we've got Him we think and this experience of some kind, not enough. But as the all-sufficient One, if He's all we've got, He's enough. As our Savior, as our Mediator, as our great High Priest, as all these offices that God has set Christ forth in and all these distinctive persons and works? He's our sufficiency. He's everything. Paul wrote to the Colossians. He says, in Christ, he says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's in all His people. But before He's in all His people, He Himself is all. Is that right? All. Everything. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is our peace. He is our salvation, our redemption, our sanctification. And Paul is led by the Spirit of God to remind those believers at Ephesus who knew this and who believed that. He said, God has blessed all His people with all spiritual blessings in Him. Is that not everything? All sufficiency from the God who is Himself all sufficient? He was all sufficient as He stood as the mediator and surety of that everlasting covenant. We were not there. He was all sufficiency when He hung as our substitute on that cross and by Himself finished the work. He was the all-sufficient God, the Spirit who came to us when we were dead in trespasses and sin and gave us life. He's everything. And it'll be Him who keeps us, who blesses us. And He'll be the one that God always looks to and always finds everything that's necessary to bless us and keep us and delight in us forever. God in the person and through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, is God Almighty. He's all-sufficient. Sometimes it plagues my heart. I'm serious. It plagues my heart that I can find in my heart an inkling, a tendency, even to this day, to cast an eye to somewhere else or to inside of myself or some other one. But He's everything. An old Simeon of old saw that child in the temple, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a child. He had been promised by the Spirit of God that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And he looked at that child, Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's all sufficient. And not only that, but secondly, He's all we need in this gospel work that He's given us. He hadn't just given me this gospel work. He hadn't just given this preacher over here or brother so-and-so. The Lord's people are all called as His witnesses. Now we're, on the one hand, because religion has kind of programmed us this way, and on the other hand, because we're still tainted with some of the notions of this flesh with regard to this, we're always thinking that witnessing is what we're able to say and convince people of about Jesus Christ. But in all truth, I believe that for most people, it is more how we react to what God brings providentially into our life. What people find themselves asking us about Christ. When you go to court, they ask you the questions, and you have to give them your answers as a witness, giving the truth. You see, pride still shows itself in us, and we get to thinking something like, what will happen to us if we don't spread this gospel? God, I believe a lot of preachers sometimes get this complex. I don't know what God would do without me. I'm the only one out here preaching. I don't know what God would do if I didn't preach this, if I didn't write this, if I didn't... I don't know what He'd do without me. Sometimes we're plagued also with this unbelief of another kind. Said, we can't do this, and we can't do that, and we can't say that, and we don't know this, and how can we live and magnify the grace of God and the glory of God in this world? In this world. You say, preacher, you don't know how it is out there. Oh, yes, I do. The problem is, it is out there like it so often is in here, the world, the flesh. And to bear witness by word, and to bear witness by conduct of life, not so easy, is it? I got to thinking about what Moses was told. You read through Exodus and Jeremiah and so many of these books, the Lord dealing with His prophets. And prophets were just like we are today, just like I am. We got this notion we got to tell God a lot about ourselves. We got to remind Him how weak we are, how ignorant we are, how this we are, how that we are. Well, Moses was not unlike that. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since Thou hast spoken unto Thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Who made every mouth of every person on this earth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? That mouth you're telling me is so slow. Didn't I make it? And so everything that is needed for the Lord's people to bear witness in this world, not only by word, but in everything, it's His sufficiency. The Lord says to Moses, Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth. I'll be with it. And teach thee what thou shalt say. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And look down at Paul's words here to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. He's talking about his ministry to these people. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. And that would go for everything. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, accomplished by ourselves, done by ourselves. We hadn't done anything. You see that next line? But our sufficiency is of God. Is that right? What do you suppose that would apply to? There isn't anything that wouldn't apply to. Our sufficiency is of God. And he later on in this same book, 2 Corinthians, he'd say, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All sufficiency in all things. In everything necessary to live in this world as God's people and bear witness to, not only in word, but in manner of life, to the grace and goodness of God to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then here's the third thing. He's all we need in the difficulties of this life. Everything. Now sometimes we get kind of a notion that somebody like Paul was a kind of a superman. Super Christian. But somehow he had the victorious life, maybe. No, he had problems. He got weak. He had fear. Says in one time he got so low that he told the other men to leave him behind. He despaired even unto death. He was like Elijah. Lord, everybody, they've killed everybody else. Just let me die also. And he had pain. He had real sufferings. If you turn over in 2 Corinthians 12, for various reasons throughout the epistles of Paul, it's believed by most that he had like a severe eye problem of some kind. I don't know what kind. It's been various speculation. But evidently, it was of a kind that maybe made him appear just a little bit grotesque or hard to look at. Just sort of distorted some way after a fashion. Maybe his eyes were crossed or something like that, you know. But evidently, it really bothered him. Really bothered him. So much so that it says here in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 that this was obviously given to him of God, sent of God to him as a way of keeping him humble in light of all that God had revealed to him. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing, now listen, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, specifically, that it might depart from me. But now you look at what God tells this man. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because I'm trusting God's strength and not mine. Because that's when I'm seeking His great sufficiency to fill up my great insufficiency. I suppose that the things he lists here would cover just about everything in the human experience. Sickness of body, family troubles, troubles out in this world, hardship, whatever it is. The first thing that God tells this man is, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever it is. I thought about it when Jacob met Esau. When they had their reunion, you know, and Jacob was scared to death, and so he comes prepared to offer Esau a big present. He got the birthright. But he comes prepared to offer Esau a big present. And when he offers it to him, Esau says, I have enough, my brother. And Jacob responds and says, I have all things. Nobody but the Lord's people can say, I have all things. They have all things because they have the God-man, who is none other than God Almighty, the all-sufficient One. And He's the nourisher, and the strength giver, and the satisfier, and He's everything. We have all things because we have God Almighty. Not ever going to be without. Can never be found without. And it's when we find out what we don't have of ourselves that we really see what we do have in Him. He said to that old man, this is all going to happen. You don't have it,
but I do.
And he did. He did. Our Father, tonight we thank you for such goodness to us. And I do wish that we could, Lord, get just a little clearer glimpse. Have a little more faith to believe. And be enabled to see your great sufficiency. And that we might in all our lives, in everything, and most especially, Lord, in the matter of our soul salvation, remember and find ourselves assured that God our Savior, God our Savior in Christ, is God Almighty, all sufficient, and we have no want. And we'll pray. In those times, Lord, we'll find ourselves praying, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need." Help us, Lord, we pray. Bless these sick and aging and troubled ones, our own afflictions and problems and cares, Lord, that are common to us all. Help us, we pray. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.